And our second reading is from Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 to 4. In my Bible, that is on page 1201, but it might be different in yours. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, please do keep Hebrews open because we're going to pray and then we'll be thinking about what God is saying there. So let's just pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your word from the Old Testament, from the New Testament. Thank you that you have been a speaking God throughout the ages. And Father, thank you that even though your words were recorded many, many years ago, they are still your words for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this year at Cornerstone, we've been thinking about the why of Christmas. Why was Jesus born in that stable all those years ago? And we could look at the gospel stories to do that, couldn't we? And there's lots of answers in the gospel stories of the why of Christmas. And some years we will focus on the gospel accounts for Christmas, but then other times we'll focus on the Old Testament prophecies from the Old Testament, or perhaps even the Psalms, all of which give us a clearer and better understanding of the details and the purposes of Christmas. But this year, however, we're focusing on the letters, or on the epistles in the New Testament, and looking at what they have to say about why Jesus came to earth. And as you'd expect, there's crossover between what we're told in the Gospels, what we're told in the Old Testament, what we're told in the epistles. But there's also different angles as well. And therefore, for our last Christmas sermon this year, we're just going to look briefly at these verses from Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 to 4. And it's a passage, I think, which is primarily about clarity. It's been observed in our world today that our world is just overflowing with communication. There are so many different ways that people can communicate, aren't they? There's good old-fashioned face-to-face. We don't get to do as much of that as normal at the moment. The Zoom, social media, email. There's actual ink on paper. Children, those are officially called letters. TV, radio. There's business-to-business communication. Governments, charities, individuals. So many communication routes, so much communication going on. And yet in the middle of all this communication, there isn't often clarity, but instead confusion. And the people have the cheek to say that God isn't clear. I mean, if I had a tenor over the years, every time someone said to me, well, if only God would make it clearer, well, I wouldn't be a rich man, but I would be significantly better off. And then we come to our passage today from Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Let me just read those first two verses again. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. First thing to note here is that we have a speaking God. A number of years ago, or according to my children, many, many years ago, I used to be a Boy Scout. And sometimes we'd be given a set of flags and we'd march off in small groups in different directions and attempt to communicate via semaphore. Well, you can easily imagine how little communication took place. Well, God doesn't have the equivalent of a pair of semaphore flags, desperately trying to communicate and remember the communication, remember the different combinations for the flags with a code book. God isn't struggling to communicate. He plainly and simply spoke. Verse 1, God spoke. And he's always been speaking. First through the prophets, and then verse 2, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. See, when Jesus speaks, we're hearing his and our Heavenly Father speak. And Jesus very clearly affirms that the Old Testament is the Word of God, in complete agreement with verse 1 here in Hebrews, the fact that God spoke in previous occasions through the prophets. And then we have Jesus' words recorded in the New Testament. Very straightforward, isn't it? Perhaps some might say a little boring. But God's words written down in such a manner is such a great blessing. A Christmas blessing. So we can have clarity. Why did Jesus come? To give us clarity about what God is saying. As God communicates, God the Father communicates with his creatures, with his children. He hasn't left us guessing to what he has to say to us. He isn't using flags. Instead, he sent his Son to live and speak, to communicate clearly. Now, someone might ask, what about the question about interpretation? Or what about those obscure parts of the Bible? Or what about those parts of the Bible which don't seem to fit our modern age? Now, and those are important questions, and I don't mean to dismiss them, but we don't have time to go into all of them today. But I will say this, though. Yes, there are difficult parts of the Bible. There's some parts which are more obscure, which we find difficult to get our heads around. But the vast majority is actually very straightforward. Just think of verses 1 and 2 from our reading today. They're pretty straightforward, aren't they? And much of the Bible is. But at the same time, we shouldn't be surprised that there are hard bits which we do find mind-stretching, because this is God talking to us, after all. There should be mind-stretching stuff when God is speaking to us, telling us about himself, telling us about ourselves. So when we think that we should easily be able to understand everything that God tells us, when we're in that sort of like, we should be able to get it, the problem is often more to do with our expectations of ourselves, thinking that we are able to understand everything. We're able to understand everything of the divine. Well, that's not true, is it? Now, there's lots more that could be said here. If you want to speak about it in the near future, do get in contact. Very happy to do so. But for this Christmas, let's sit back and thank God for the wonderful Christmas gift of clarity. Clarity as God speaks to us through the words of Jesus, through the Bible. Seriously, as Christians, We know that this book, the Bible, is God's word. We take it seriously. We read it. We chew it over. We pray it over. But we can also lose that sense of wonder that God spoke into his world. That God is speaking to you and me. And that is brilliant. That is one of the reasons why Jesus came. But these Christmas verses, this Christmas clarity doesn't just stop there, though. Because look back with me, please, to verse 2. Excuse me. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. And then verse 3, the Son is a radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Now, I'll come back to the last part of that verse in a few minutes. But for now, let's just observe the clarity that God gives about Jesus' identity. The heir, so it speaks of the heir, doesn't it, in verse 2. And the heir is somebody who ultimately the estate belongs to. So who do all things belong to? Yes, it's Jesus. God the Father says it's his Son. He says to his Son, it's all yours. The whole universe, it belongs to you. The Milky Way, Andromeda, Messier 82, Whirlpool, Yes, now those are galaxy names, and I did have to look them up on Google. They all belong to Jesus. But it's everything in them. Planet Earth, the UK, Thurrock, Grays, your home, even your very self. You belong to Jesus. Now, that doesn't make every single person a Christian. The Bible elsewhere is very clear. Some people belong to Jesus in as brothers and sisters, as a family. And the belonging here isn't the type of belonging where you're included in God's kingdom, but about ultimate ownership. Who do you owe your everything to? And that makes sense, doesn't it, as we think about the last part of verse 2. Through whom also he made the universe. God the Father, he initiated the creation of the universe. It was his decision, if you like, but it was God the Son who made it. And therefore, Jesus, the creator, is also Jesus, the heir, the owner. Jesus didn't make the universe and then sell it to the highest bidder. It is his. And rightly so, as we come into verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. It belongs to Jesus because Jesus is God. And again, we've got such wonderful clarity here. Such a wonderful Christmas gift of why did Jesus come that very first Christmas? For us not just to hear from God, which is brilliant in itself, but to see God. To see his magnificence. And we don't have to see Jesus with our eyes to appreciate this. We look in our mind's eye at Jesus being born into near poverty, lying in a manger as his first bed. And we see the glory of God in his humility. We see his magnificence. Years later, as Jesus went round touching the untouchable and changing their lives forever. And yes, at the same time, giving hope to untouchables like you and me, but even more importantly, recognizing the glory of God in Jesus. As we'll see in a moment, the glory of God in Jesus sacrificing himself to make purification possible for you and me. Yes, God's awesome power is seen in Jesus and so much more. But do we see the beauty of this Christmas gift to the world, clarity on who he is? Yes, again, many people today claim that God hasn't shown himself clearly, but is that claim fair? Or is it just a convenient excuse to keep God at arm's length in life? Well, God's answer from Hebrews is very clear. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. And then the last why of Christmas, the last why did Jesus come to earth from this passage? And that is to make purification for sin. Let me read the whole of verse 3. Again, it's magnificent stuff. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. The why of Christmas? For Jesus to bring purification for our sins. Your sin, my sin. It doesn't sound very Christmassy, does it, to talk about sin? But what about the angel's message to Joseph before Jesus was born? We're told this in Matthew's Gospel. Joseph, son of David. So this is the angel speaking to Joseph. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus coming to deal with our sin has always been part of the why of Christmas. It might even be the biggest why of Christmas. Here in Hebrews, it's not talked about in terms of salvation, it's talked about in terms of purification. Two sides of the same coin. And one side being saved, so we can have eternal, saved from being eternally separated from God, salvation. That's one side of the coin. But then the other side of the coin is, what is necessary to make that salvation possible? Well, it is purification. For Jesus to make us clean. So why did Jesus come that first Christmas? To make us clean. As the psalmist tells us, to make us as white as snow. But did you notice here in Hebrews how Jesus, after the purification, sat down? That's a visual way of saying the purification is finished. It's done. I've got nothing else to do in that area. So much so that Jesus can sit down and put his feet up. And again, isn't this such wonderful Christmas clarity? Jesus came to deal with our sin, to cleanse us from it once and for all. And therefore, as 2020 approaches its end, it's been a pretty rotten year, hasn't it, in so many ways? But it may have been a rotten year in terms of your battle against sin. Well, Jesus clearly came to bring you cleansing, forgiveness, once and for all. That's great Christmas news. So the whys of Christmas, for God to clearly speak to us, for God to clearly show himself to us, to clearly and uniquely and forever cleanse us. And therefore, as we muddle through our daily life, in the confusion of information overload that is so much part of modern life, let's thank God for his Christmas clarity in Jesus. Clarity that makes a huge difference as we live for him day by day. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you that you want us to be clear about so many things. Thank you for the clarity that you brought when Jesus came into the world that first Christmas. And Father, as we do live in an age of information overload and confusion, help us to hang on to that clarity. Help us to be thankful to you for it. And may it give us confidence as we live for you day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.